Ezekiel 41. Let's just remind ourselves what's happening at this point in Ezekiel. The captives who are with Ezekiel are being urged to repent. Ezekiel at this point is in Babylon by the river Kibar, and he is urging them to repent so that they might return to the land and rebuild God's temple and re-establish God's kingdom. Their return to God was related to their return to the land. And we'll read in chapter 43 that what we're reading here is the law of the house. This is commandment more than prediction. This is commandment to the exiles. And they've broken the old covenant. The rod representing the old covenant, according to Zechariah, is broken. They've broken it. God is very clear about this in Ezekiel, that they've broken the old covenant. That is why they've been sent out of the land, exactly as the curses for disobedience to the covenant have made clear. Yet God still wants them. He still wants them back, and he offers them a new deal, a new covenant. It's rather like Hosea and Gomer. She commits adultery terribly. She messes up the marital relationship, but he has this fantasy about remarrying her in some sort of open-air wedding ceremony where heaven and earth are going to rejoice in the great joy of the two getting back together. And of course, Hosea represents God and Gomer represents his people. That didn't happen, unfortunately. And likewise with the exiles, they did not actually repent, and the few of them who did eventually return, they did not rebuild the kingdom nor the temple as they're commanded here. But it was God's intention they should do that. Now, throughout this temple that is they're told to build, there was to be this motif of cherubim. Verse 18, it was made with cherubim and palm trees. A palm tree was between cherub and cherub. Each cherub had two faces. It was as if the cherubim of Ezekiel 1 had now, as it were, landed in this new temple. Now, according to Ezekiel 11, Ezekiel the priest ran what is called a little sanctuary by the river Kibar, and the idea was that in his visions he had seen the glory of God departing from the Jerusalem temple by the way of the east and progressively moving out of Judah, and then the vision comes to land in Ezekiel 10 by the river Kibar, where the captives, the exiles, are. And Ezekiel is told that he is to be a little sanctuary there for a little time. The idea was that for a little while they would be there, but the glory of God was to be with them, and they were to repent, and then the return would happen. And the idea is that the glory of God that was there by the river Kibar would then return with them to Zion. And then the end of Ezekiel 48, Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. But this didn't happen. The temple that they built was in disobedience to the commands that are given here in Ezekiel 40 to 48, and the Shekinah glory was never again seen in that temple. God decided, as Isaiah, the very last part of Isaiah, makes clear, that he would give up trying to dwell in temples made with hands, just didn't work out, and would dwell in the hearts of individuals. So, they are, however, being given here the new deal that could have happened. And the length and breadth and the height of the temple are exactly that of Solomon. See verse 4, its length 20, breadth 20 cubits. This is the most holy place. So I meant to say that the dimensions of the most holy were the same as in Solomon's temple. But we're not given any detail of what was inside the most holy place. I think the idea is that if they did this, then the glory of God would come and dwell there. And in this temple system that is described here, this is not the law of Moses. They had broken the old covenant. This is not a return to the law of Moses. Here there is no laver. There is no table of showbread. There's no lampstand. There's no golden altar of incense. There's no veil. There's no Ark of the Covenant. It is very shoddy biblical workmanship to claim that this is a picture of the Mosaic Law revived. It simply is not the case at all. There's different priests, the sons of Zadok, etc., not the Levites, and things are different. This is not the law of Moses revived. This is absolutely very, very poor Bible reading to suggest that. Just read it, Ezekiel 40 to 48. It's not talking about a revived law of Moses. That is mythical. But the idea is that in this new system of worship, the religious furniture would not be needed. And of course, the religious furniture was not available in what is called the little sanctuary that Ezekiel had by the river Kibar. He didn't have table of showbread, lampstand, veil, Ark of the Covenant. He didn't have those things. But he had the glory of God there. And that's the point. This is what God was trying to teach them, that my glorious presence through my spirit can be with you without all the paraphernalia of religion, particularly the idea that the Ark of the Covenant somehow represented the presence of God. The Ark went missing, it was lost, destroyed, stolen, whatever. And there's a passage in Jeremiah 3 that is worth considering. They were so obsessed with this ark, as they were when they went into battle with the Philistines, they thought that it was somehow some sort of good luck symbol, some sort of talisman. He says, I will bring you back to Mount Zion. So this is talking ultimately about the restoration. And I will give you rulers who obey me. They will rule you with wisdom and understanding. Then when you have become numerous in that land, people will no longer talk about the ark. They will no longer think about it or remember it. They will not even need it, nor will they make another one. When that time comes, Jerusalem will be called the throne of Yahweh, and all nations will gather there to worship me. So, they will not need an ark. They would not need that religious furniture, that religious paraphernalia. Neither will it come into their mind to make a new one. So they were being taught that God wants relationship with them and not religion. And so the new covenant included the gift of God's Spirit, which would write his law on their hearts. And I think the idea is that, sure, the old covenant was over, it was broken, but the essence of God's law, he would write not in the letter, but in the Spirit. He would write it on their hearts. Now, that is applied to us in the New Testament. We're told that we are in the New Covenant. We have received the Spirit. God has written his law in our hearts. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. That's Romans 5, verse 5. So, the idea is that this could have happened then, but it didn't. And so the essence of it has been offered to us. It doesn't mean that we have to build a temple in our lives now like they were asked to build then. No, that external side of it is gone. But the essence of the new covenant is, of course, with us. This is what we celebrate when we take the cup of the new covenant to celebrate that we are in that covenant, that we have received the Spirit. These words about the parts of the new covenant that offer a new heart, a new spirit, God writing his laws in our hearts, this is all applied to us in the New Testament. And yet there is a very strong desire for religious furniture, for religious paraphernalia. But as I repeat, here in this system that they were offered at this time, there was no laver, there was no table of showbread, no lampstand, no altar of incense, no veil, no Ark of the Covenant. Jeremiah says, you won't even think about an ark, you won't even want to make a new one, it will not even come into your mind. And yet, of course, they wanted desperately all those things, and that is where they went wrong. They went back to mere religion. And so it happens that God will work in your life to strip you of your religious furniture, to bring you to the spirit of what Ezekiel and the faithful amongst the exiles experienced in what's called the Little Sanctuary. None of all this, they didn't have all this furniture, but they had the presence of God. It's what David realized when he was on the run from Saul and he couldn't get to the sanctuary to keep the feast and all that. He longed to be there, but he says, I dwell all the time beneath the wings of the cherubim. As if he was there right on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, what Paul calls the mercy seat, where every year the high priest nervously threw the blood of atonement. And he says, I'm living there, not just there once a year. I'm not even a priest, let alone a high priest, but I live there. That's where I am all the time. And yet you only come to that sense of God's very intimate and abiding presence if you quit all the religious furniture. And God will work in your life through various ways to achieve that, just as he did with the exiles, because he wants above all not religion, but personal, heart-to-heart relationship with him.